Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton's women's lacrosse coach, Chris Saylor. And coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. So we haven't spoken since, we spoke last week after the win against Penn State, which sort of righted the ship for you guys, and then followed up with that with an even more impressive performance in the win over Columbia, which I don't think I was expecting it to go the way it did. I don't think you expected it to go the way it did. Can you even remember the last time your team was up 15-0 at halftime?
I don't know that that's happened before.
And Columbia's made some steps forward, so I was expecting, honestly, I wasn't expecting Columbia to win the game. I was expecting it to be in the sort of range of 15-8, something along those lines, and it was 15-0 at halftime. It was 5-0 after 5 minutes, and it just steamrolled, and your team just got on such a roll, played with such confidence. And again, I come back to the same things that we try to get with all the podcasts I do. From the coach's perspective going into a game, do you have a sense of the fact that this is about to be a blowout? Like I asked Madelon the same question after the Navy game, because they played so well against Navy, that was never a game. I was like, before the game starts, do you have a sense of what to expect? And he said no.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were going to have a blowout. I thought we would play well following up on the Penn State game and two more good days of practice. I felt like we were really clicking at that point, and I knew we were going to compete well. But at the same time, and Columbia graduated a couple of key kids from last year's team, but they still have some of their main players back.
And I think they were 2-2, and they had two good runs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we definitely expected more of a game than it was, or at least were prepared for it to be more than a game than it was. But, I think they just really had trouble with our dominance on the draw circle. They only got the ball in their attacking zone 4 times in the entire first half. We rode incredibly well. We won the draw, and we shot very, very well.
Do you know who leads your team in cause turnovers?
I don't know that offhand.
Alex Argo. So she's a defender, but who's 2 and 3?
Say again, who's 2 and 3?
Tied for 2. So she has 7, and then 2 players have 6. Do you know who's the 6?
I guess I should know this. I think Tess is probably up there.
Tess Diorsi and Elizabeth George, who are offensive players. Mm-hmm. So this is, you talked about riding, and that's what they're causing turnovers in transition. So even when they're not winning draws, which they're winning a lot of,
right,
they're causing turnovers in transition.
Yeah. I mean, that's been an emphasis of ours. It's always an emphasis of ours. And we have a speedy attack group. And that's one of the reasons that we moved George down to attack. First of all, we wanted her in every attack set rather than when she was a middy. She's on the field for about half of the game. And then we also knew that, her experience as a middy would help in the ride.
So, and it clearly has, because of all the turnovers that she's causing and that Tess Diorsi is causing. Just going back to the Columbia game, and we'll look ahead to this week, really not a whole lot to talk about with the Columbia game because it was such a blowout. But go back to the beginning of the game, and as a coach, when you're sitting there, at what point did it become clear that this was your day? Like, it was quick, but do you get a sense that, all right, we had a good start, they can get back into it, or it was just right from the beginning that they can't handle us?
Well, I thought right from the beginning, and look, Jerry, it's not as if we did everything perfectly. We certainly broke down that film and saw a lot of areas where we can improve offensively and work our offenses better than we did, be more patient. I think Columbia just had a really hard time containing our attackers, who are just explosive and quick and powerful. At different times, we have different attackers with different styles, but in a one-on-one, they just couldn't stay with us. And that and winning draws, it did get to be a big margin pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I felt a little bad for their goalie because it was just one run after another of somebody running by somebody and coming in and a full head of steam and some really powerful shooting as well. So you only have 2 Ivy League games in the month of March. You have 5 in April. And then you don't have another one now until Brown on the 23rd as part of the doubleheader with the men. That's the first game this time. How important – it's obviously important to win every Ivy game. How important is it to sort of make that statement in the game?
Well, I think that, that was a statement game for us. If you're looking for a statement game early, I think that definitely was. But, we know it's one game, and you will have 6 games ahead. And really what happened in the first game doesn't impact what's going to happen in the second through the 7th game. So, each game is its own game. And you
no,
just...
but that score got the attention of the rest of the league.
Absolutely, and I think the scores over the last week, the Penn State score and the Columbia score, definitely got some attention from the league and potentially nationally to help us move back up a little bit. But you know, we've got some huge contests coming up, and we've got to grow between now and our Brown game.
So the turnover story: so 27 turnovers against Virginia. And then in the two games since then, just 25. So how much of that was rain and grass versus anything else? Do you just sort of like, you sort of just say, all right, that was just an unfortunate game? Or did you specifically do things to tighten that up?
Well, we were actually on AstroTurf, like a
field hockey
surface.
You moved that, that's
down
right,
there,
I'm
right?
Sorry.
So the ground balls
normal,
were a little tough. But,
their normal game field is grass, but you played that
exactly,
game on a practice
yeah.
field. So you can't even blame the grass.
No, you can't blame the grass for those. Like I said in the last podcast, I think we were just really out of sorts. And, you know, they pressured us hard, and we made uncharacteristic errors. And clearly that was a big focus of ours. I mean, the team set a goal of 12 or fewer turnovers a game is their goal every game. And so to have 27, I mean, it was just unacceptable. And a lot of those were on the attack end in terms of, you know, we had a number of charge calls, a number of, you know, missed feeds, just not making really great decisions, and then execution issues, which I think on a day like that, a cold, rainy day, you're likely to have a couple more turnovers than you normally would. That's pretty standard. Virginia did as well. But really tightening up and making better decisions and taking better care of the ball has been a big focus for us in practice.
So Kyla Sears, 7 assists in the last 2 games, none in the first 2. You know, shifted her around a little bit, seems to be working out pretty well.
Yeah, you know, Kyla had been playing a lot inside for us and, you know, doing a lot of cutting, and that's a role she played a lot last year. But we've just had trouble getting her the ball when we're defended behind. And so, you know, we had on occasion moved her behind the cage last year, and we decided to try that a little more this year. And so, you know, she has good vision of the field, and so she's become as much a feeder for us as she is a dodger. And so it's nice to see that kid really getting her stride back and becoming more confident and more threatening both off the feed and the dodge.
So, I mean, when you have somebody like Kyla, who has been such a goal scorer here with 64 last year and I think 19 assists.
Yeah.
So the majority of the, you know, 64 of her 83 points were goals. And then in high school, she had 1 million goals. To take that mentality and turn her into a feeder, it's a little bit of a different thing, and she appears to have taken to the role well. Is that a conversation you have to have?
Yeah, and I don't think that our goal is to make her into a feeder, but to put her into a position where she can both feed and dodge, and to just have a little more flexibility within our offensive looks. And she is good behind the cage, but she's also going to play out in front for us. I think for Kyla, you know, it was really she missed some of preseason with some injuries, and so just kind of getting her feet underneath her again and really, you know, being patient in terms of letting opportunities come to her rather than just trying to force it and create the ones that aren't there. So I think it's her just taking a step back and really reading the field better and looking to create more plays with her teammates, both as an assister and a cutter.
So lastly, from the Columbia game, before we move ahead, every healthy player was able to get into the game. So now your entire team has some game experience. Mm-hmm. That has to be a good thing for you to know that your roster now has all seen the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, I mean, we have a really solid freshman class, but with so many returners back on this year's team, it's hard for a lot of those guys to really crack the lineup. So it was nice to get a lot of those freshmen, especially the freshman middies, some good quality minutes and give them that game experience and see how they could perform in a situation like that.
And so with that win behind you, 1-0 in the league, 3-1 overall, now ranked 9th in the country. Up next is Stony Brook. And I did not realize this, but Princeton and Stony Brook have only played once.
Yeah.
I assume there must have been other games, but only one game between Princeton and Stony Brook. It was in the 2015 NCAA tournament. Princeton won the game 8-4. Stony Brook has had dominant teams the last couple of years without ever getting to the Final Four, but spent a lot of last year ranked number one in the country. They won their first 20 games before they lost to Boston College in the quarterfinals. One, what made you want to play Stony? Like, how does a game come about with Stony Brook? And two, you're playing a team that's used to winning. They come into the game 2-2, and they're ranked, I believe, 18th now. But they're it's a team that's used to winning.
Oh yeah, they're used to winning, and they're going to win a lot this year. And you know, we made the intentional decision to upgrade our schedule this year. It has always been a tough schedule, loaded with top 10, top 15 teams. But with the addition of Stony Brook and Florida, we thought we would have if not the strongest schedule in the country, certainly one of the strongest schedules in the country. And we thought that this group could handle that type of challenge. And, we've been to the NCAA tournament many years in a row now. It's pretty a consistent place for us. But we want to get to that same place Stony Brook wants to get to, which is back to that Final Four, in that Final Four, and competing for a national championship. And so we felt one of the things that we needed to do was, have a tougher schedule and to be playing more of these perennial top five teams game in and game out. So, when we got to that second round game or that quarter final game, where we've been many times in the last 5 or 6 years, but just haven't made that, gotten over that hump, that experience would help us down the road.
So Stony Brook, we mentioned last year, getting to the quarterfinals. They were actually the number one ranked team in the country for much of the year.
Yeah.
Their coach, Coach Spallina, is a interesting guy. He's a Major League Lacrosse defender with the long hair and the Long Island everything. And it's a team that sort of has followed his personality a bit. What has he brought?
Joe... And, he coaches in the MLL now, and, he's quite the figure.
I don't know if you ever seen him play.
I have never seen him play.
He was, he was one of these guys that was, a lot of ferocity when he played.
Yeah.
I
think he coaches the same way. I mean, you know his presence. He's not afraid to put out there, how great he thinks his team is and what their goals are and all of that. So, he's not one who has a little more of that humble approach. He's brash, and he puts it right out there. And his teams are absolutely competitive, and they're full of confidence. And, the group this year, yeah, they lost Kylie and, some other kids last year, but they are still a very tough group. They play a really good zone defense that we're going to, spend a couple days prepping for to see if we can figure out, some good ways to break it. And they've got some incredible attacking threats in Ole Miller and Allie Kennedy, who's one of the fastest kids I've ever seen.
They, like Princeton, they share the ball well. Both teams in the top 15 in Division I in assists per game. And like Princeton, good on the draw. Two teams that win well better than 50% of their draws. So one, possession is going to be huge. And two, not turning it over again will be huge.
Absolutely. And I think our patience and decision-making offensively, against the zone, being patient to wait for the right looks to open up before we're feeding it inside or taking a one-on-one that might develop for us, and really being aware of the field and our spacing, trying to draw some shooting space when we can. And then defensively, they're a team that you just have to be – you have to be on your toes every second the ball is in their attack end, because they're just so – They're so quick and they're so smart. Their cutters are really good. They're very deceptive. So if you let your guard down, they're going to be gone and the ball's going to be, in their stick and in the back of the cage.
And then interestingly, after the game against Stony Brook, the following Saturday, no game. So your team has midterms, no game Saturday, and then a trip to Florida to play Florida a week from Tuesday. So basically 10 days off between this game and the next one. And, you don't want to have that sit on a poor performance for 10 days after and go through midterms that way.
Jerry, we're hoping it's not going to be a poor performance.
Well, I'm saying like that, so that gives extra, incentive in this. Not that you need extra incentive, but, it's an interesting, I guess, to me, it's an interesting sort of break after the first group of games.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see where you are.
And I think that's nice. It'll give us next week to really hone in and focus just on ourselves. I mean, this week there's a lot of prep going on for Stony Brook. Next week the kids are in midterms, so... it's nice to let them focus on that piece, maybe get an extra day off in there somewhere so they can really get their academics down. And then we have time to really focus on whatever we need, whether that's, putting in some new offensive looks, working on our EMO, working on different defensive looks, before we then turn our attention to Florida this weekend.
So was that intentional to try to have a game open on that Saturday? It's just the way scheduling worked? It's hard to get somebody.
It's kind of the way scheduling has worked in the last few years.
You've done that before, right?
Yeah, in the last few years, we've played not on that Saturday, Sunday. Some of it is, you know, they're, it's just tough to get games at times with everyone's conference schedules. And we have another Saturday this year, actually, with no game, which is really odd. But it can be tough with conference schedules getting people on the weekends if you want to play some of these top teams. So Maryland's midweek for us, you know, this year. Florida midweek for us. Loyola midweek for us. Penn State midweek for us. So that leaves some openings on the weekends.
So it's Princeton, Stony Brook, no opening this weekend. As the Seawolves will be at Sherrod Field. 1 o'clock start?
Yes.
1 o'clock start on Saturday for the second ever meeting between Princeton and Stony Brook. The first one was in the 2015 NCAA tournament. Princeton won that one. We'll be back next Thursday to talk about that game, to look ahead to your trip to Florida, and then we'll be back Thursday after that, see how that went, and then after that, back into the Ivy League against Brown. So a lot of games coming up, even though you have the 10 days off, but you know the season is going to be right into its key pieces in the next few weeks. So we'll be here each week, each Thursday, to talk about them.
Great.
For Chris Saylor, I am Jerry Price. Thanking you for being with us here on the Chris Saylor Show every Thursday, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.